Samuel 12, and then we're going to be in Psalm 51. Just for a minute in 2 Samuel 12, most of the evening in Psalm 51. So you want to find both places, and we'll finish tonight with David's dealings there with Nathan the prophet. So we'll enjoy the song from dawn, and then we'll get right into the lesson. A blessed song. I love it when she sings that. Thank you, Dawn. And yes, amen. The best testimony in this building is the person that never did taste of the dregs of sin. Amen. And thank God for that. Strongest person in this room is not the one who knows what sin is like and has been delivered. The strongest person is the one who stayed out of all that mess. You didn't get saved out of it. You got saved from it. Amen. And God bless you. Good song tonight for our hearts. That's wonderful. That's our prayer for every boy and girl born of the church families, that they come to Christ early. Some won't, but we trust that most will. Amen? And not have to deal with the consequences of sin. All right, very good. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 13. Now, Nathan has preached his message to David, given the parable, the story, and David's heart is smitten, as Nathan points out in verse 7. David, this story is about you. Thou art the man. And then David said unto Nathan in verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. Now, there's no excuses. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. I'm guilty. Now, that's where this thing can start to go up from the bottom. It has to come to this point before you can start back up. Okay? So now he's there. Okay? He's confessed. He's repented. Admitted it. His heart is broken. He's in a good condition where God can begin to rebuild him. So we want to talk tonight about the gains David's spirit made after his confession. The gains that David's spirit made after his confession. We have to go to Psalm 51 to understand the gains that his spirit made. So turn over to Psalm 51 and we'll ask God's blessing on the lesson. Thank you, God, for this part of your word. It's never fun to read 2 Samuel chapter 11. And Lord, every time a preacher announces a text from 2 Samuel 11, my heart just sinks because pretty well know, Lord, what's going to come in that message. This is a sad part in the Bible. But Lord, it's good for us to read it, learn from it, and God, hopefully never, ever, Lord, do what David did here. Avoid this terrible, terrible thing. So Lord, help us tonight if we do get in a situation where our spirit is sideways with you. It doesn't have to be adultery and murder. It could be anything. I pray that we'd learn tonight what our spirit gains once our confession is made. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. After being confronted by the prophet Nathan, David breaks down, admits his awful sin against God. It didn't happen until an old faithful preacher pointed his finger at his face and said, "I'm talking about you. Thou art the man." That's a gift from God. If you got somebody that would be bold enough to do that. Point the finger and say, "The problem, sir, is with you." Now, David committed a sin that involved his body. David committed a sin that involved his mind. You think about the adultery and the murder. But the part of David that suffered the worst was his spirit. His spirit suffered horribly. When you get to Psalms 51, David makes mention of his spirit four times. David's prayer of confession contains much about his spirit in these verses in Psalm 51. David suffered immensely during the months that he was not right with God. Remember, a great period of time elapsed between David committing these sins and then his confession of these sins and getting right. 9, 10 months, maybe 11. So this is quite a time period that's elapsed here. David's spirit is suffering immensely. He's not right with God. His spirit is hit the hardest. And when he made confession, he gained the most in his spirit. Now, our spirits are very interesting. Our spirits are very sensitive and usually very difficult to ignore. At the same time, they also are difficult to conceal completely. Even when we try to convince someone with our words that we are okay, our spirits are more honest than our words. You ever been around that? Yeah. The spirit's more honest than the words. Our spirit has a witness. And it's a very noticeable witness to those who are closest to us, especially. There's just something out of kilter. The spirit is skewed, and even though we may put on the front, "I'm fine," the spirit says something entirely different. So the spirit's very interesting. David's spirit was hit the hardest as he went these months apart from God. And he finally confesses to Nathan and he says, "I've sinned against the Lord." He makes his prayer of confession in Psalm 32. Some of it's recorded. Psalm 51 is the majority of his prayer of confession. What did David gain in his spirit once he had his prayer of confession, once he came to the mindset of repentance in his heart? What did his spirit gain? Pardon me. Three things I'll talk about tonight. Number one, he gained a right spirit. He gained a right spirit. Verse number 10. Psalm 51, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now look at that. He's asking for the renewal of a right spirit. It means he had it one time. And then it got out of kilter. He lost that right spirit, and he said, "God, please, now that I've come to my senses and this this matter is on my heart and mind to be right with you. Please renew that right, renew the right spirit. David realized, you know, something's been out of kilter with my spirit. God, I need to be fixed in my spirit. Renew the spirit. Renew that right spirit. The word right means to be erect. It means to set up, to stand perpendicular. You see, sin does something to our spirit. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That means me. That means you. If I go with unconfessed sin, if I go with without dealing with things on a daily basis with the Lord, or, you know, especially those major things that occur from time to time, if we just ignore them and convince ourselves that nothing needs to be done, and we go on in that relationship with the Lord, just neglect it, stick it out in the corner, stick it off in the corner somewhere, and just don't deal with it. Something happens in our spirit that we get bowed over. It's a reproach to us. It causes us to cast our eyes downward. I don't live suspicious. I despise living suspiciously. I don't like being around people who are suspicious. But when somebody won't look you in the eyeballs and talk to you, I can't help it. That just, what's wrong? When they won't look at you now. Sin will do that to a person. If somebody has an introvert problem and is just absolutely shy, you can't just assume that everybody doesn't look you in the eye, has a problem with sin in their spirit, unconfessed sin. You can't just blindly assume that. But a lot of times it shows up like that. Hey, how you doing? And the person averts their eyes. They can't look at you. Okay. That's what sin will do. Cast our eyes downward. Cause us to slink around. It takes a toll on our spirit. We just aren't right. I've used this illustration before. Did you ever sink a post in the ground, a 4x4 post? You dig the hole. One of the greatest days of my life was finding out that when you buy that bag of Sackcrete, you do not have to mix it with water. That was a great day in my life. You just dump it in the ground. And there's enough moisture in the ground, it hardens up, and man, it does great. And so, you know, you've dug the hole, you've got the post in there, you've got it centered in the hole, you've got the Sackcrete in now, and you poured it around, and I forgot the level. It's in the garage, it's in the closet in the house, it's in the shed. I'll just eyeball it. Right? And you get it right? Sure. Until you walk out there and look at it or drive by and you say, man, I don't know. And then you make the biggest mistake. You go get the level. Suggestion, if you put it up without a level, leave it in the garage. Because you go get the level and you put it on there and on this side and this side, and pretty soon you find out you're a half a bubble off. A lot of people live that way, a half a bubble off. And it's not enough to even tell it with the naked eye, and you step back and you look. But once you put the level up there, and then you back off and you say, man, but now. And every time you drive by and every time you walk by, it bothers you. You try to ignore it, but it bothers you because you know it's not right. It just eats at you. Finally, you find a few extra hours. If it really eats at you like it can, you find a few extra hours, you dig it up, break it off, and you reset the thing right. That's what David gained. For all those months, he just wasn't right. And so when he gets his confession made here, God, I'm looking forward to the renewal of a right spirit within me so that I can live with the knowledge that things are perpendicular between me and you. Things are upright. Things are on the up and up. Things are on the level. God has been off center for all of these months, and I've known it. That's how it is with sin in our spirit. It's just not right. In the marriage, it's just not right. And we'd like to blame the spouse, or we'd like to blame the lack of income, or we'd like to blame the size of the house or where we live. With the children, it's just not right. With the church, it's just not right. And the work is just not right. And it's not the job I really wanted. And the yard is just not right. And even recreation, all of that suffers when my spirit is not straight up. None of those things are the issue. Sometimes, many times. It's my spirit. Now, who is closer to our spirit than us? Maybe the Holy Spirit. No, maybe about it. He is. But humanly speaking, nobody is closer to my spirit than me. A car mechanic, you know, he jumps in the car to take a ride with somebody. He's a car mechanic. He's repaired cars all of his life. And this person gets in the car, driving the car, or being in the pasture. Man, what a car. Man, does this thing ride nice. But if the car mechanic, you know, he can hear, he can sense, he can feel things that guy can't see, because he's close to that. He knows his business. This person's over here rejoicing, but this guy, the lady cooks her favorite dish. Everybody raves about it. Except for her. We've had this happen. We're all sitting around the table like a bunch of hogs, man, just devouring. Everybody's, and she's sitting over there. What's the matter? It's just not right. She's the cook. You take a man with a hobby. Take a horseman. A horseman who knows his horses. He takes it for a ride, and people watch. But people, what a beauty. But that horseman, he can sense on the horse when something's not right, because he's close to it. Now, who is closer to our spirit humanly than us? David, immediately, when he finally got down to brass tacks with the Lord, he said, God, for these past several months, my spirit has been half a bubble off. Please renew it right. That's a good gain, isn't it? You gain that when you deal with your sin. You gain it. If you don't deal with your sin, if you try to convince yourself you haven't made a mistake, it's not that big a deal, but that bothering of the Holy Ghost conviction just continues on, and you just keep neglecting it and keep neglecting it and putting it off. Finally, the spirit gets a little bit skewed and out of kilter. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. It's like the man who fell asleep and the kids wanted to play a trick on him, had a big mustache, and rubbed the Limburger cheese under his nose. And he woke up and went to the grocery store and he said, this place stinks. And he went to the barber shop and he said, this place stinks. And he went to the hardware store, and this place stinks. And he went to the bank, and he said, this place stinks. He walked out of the bank, and he said, the whole world stinks. It wasn't the world at all. You know what it was? It was the Limburger cheese under his nose. And I'm going to tell you something. We could pick apart and find fault with, dozens of things in our life. This is not right, and this is not, and I don't have this, and I don't, and my this, and my, and it's just not this. And I'm going to tell you, the whole problem is, that's going on inside of us. That spirit's not straight up with God. Funny how the whole world looks bright when that spirit's like that. That's true. He said, God, I want you to renew that right spirit. Now that I come to my senses, I see for all of these months that I've been living with a crooked spirit. And I want you to straighten that back up. Renew that right spirit with it. Okay? So he gained a right spirit. That's a good thing, man. When you gain that, when the spirit is right, our world is right again, okay? Number two, not only did he gain a right spirit, but he gained the Holy Spirit's influence. He gained the Holy Spirit's influence. Look at verse number 11. All these verses right in a row he's talking about here. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So God, he said, Lord, please, please don't take away the influence of the Holy Spirit. He asked for the return of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people will try to use this verse to teach that we can lose our salvation. See, look here, David was a saved man, and he sinned, and he lost the Holy Spirit. But we must remember in which dispensation David lived. God is changeless. He is immutable. God does not change from era to era to era. God remains the same. We can't comprehend that because we change and we live in a changing world, friend. But God has never changed. But how God works His program with men has changed from dispensation to dispensation. We're not ultra-dispensationalists, but the Bible tells you in Timothy, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. You've got to rightly divide it. This is Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell believers. I know I've been on this before, but it doesn't hurt us to go over this again. Get it nailed down so you won't be confused about it. The Holy Spirit did not live in the body of those who were believers in the Old Testament. That was something brand new to the upper room in John chapter 20 when Jesus breathed on those disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now the Spirit of God lives in them. That was a mystery to all the Old Testament people. They didn't see that. They didn't know that. What the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament was come on people. He came on Moses. The Holy Spirit came on David. The Holy Spirit came upon Saul. The Holy Spirit came upon Gideon. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson. It would enable them and empower them for a certain specific service. Most of the time in the Old Testament, the only people who enjoyed that enabling power of the Holy Spirit were the kings and the prophets and the priests and the judges. Those in some kind of leadership position. That's why when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said, "Man, this is a new era. God's going to pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. The kids can have the Holy Spirit enabling, and the teenagers can have the Holy Spirit enabling, and the old men and the young men and the elderly ladies and the young ladies and the servants and the handmaidens and those prophets, they can all have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit." That's the day and age in which we live. Different day and age. The Holy Spirit had come upon David. That's clear. 1 Samuel 16:13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." David had known the Holy Spirit's help. David had known the Holy Spirit's comfort. He had known the Holy Spirit's presence. He had known the Holy Spirit's leading. He had known the Holy Spirit's influence. And he'd also known what could happen to a man who lost that influence. Because he witnessed what happened to his king. He watched what happened to Saul. Because Saul so grieved and angered God with his sin, finally God took his spirit off of Saul. And by the way, we know what happened to Saul because the Spirit was taken from him. You know where he ended up, don't you? At the witch's house. I want to tell you something, man. I'm not sure that we really, pardon me, appreciate the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives. When we sin, the Holy Spirit does not leave us. He comes in us. When you're born into God's family, He stays. But we do grieve Him with sin, and we can quench Him. Now, let me ask you a question. If you work in an office and somebody comes to work very grieved, are they as effective as they could be? No. That's Nehemiah. What's up, Nehemiah? What's wrong, man? You're not yourself today. Man, my heart's broken. I'm grieved. Got word that the walls are torn down around the city, my hometown. It's awful.
How did that show up? How did that grief show up? He wasn't at his best. It affected him. Physically, he's okay, but his spirit's so grieved. He's not performing to the best of his ability. And so here the Spirit of God lives within us. We grieve Him. We quench Him, which is basically pouring water on what He wants to do and could do in us and through us. When the Holy Spirit is grieved, when the Holy Spirit is quenched, we lose some of His influence. That's what David was praying. Dear God, please, I want to walk in that Holy Spirit influence again. I want that awareness of His leadership. I want that awareness of His comfort. I want that awareness of His wisdom. Please let me walk in that influence again. You see, when He is active and when He is working in our lives, His influence is huge. It covers everything from wisdom to comfort to companionship to good and proper motives to protecting us, the assurance of our relationship with God, and that is only scratching the surface. The influences of the Holy Spirit are innumerable in my life and in your life until we sin. And then He just kind of backs off. I don't need to live like that. You know, I mean, we had this power outage at the house. And 6 o'clock Friday morning is when I found the water. And also when I realized all of Ben and Ashley's stuff was in the basement. So it was on, man. The work was beginning. I've never carried anything heavier in my life up those stairs than those suitcases that were packed to the 50-pound limit for the airplane, soaking wet and full of water. Oh, man, those were heavy. Hauled them up out of the basement. And then we were in the process of trying to get all the rest of the stuff out of the basement. They were trying in the process of getting started, and it was bedlam at the house. Hannah and Max were there. Ben and Ashley were there. And we kept the older kids, we kept the kids home. No, they didn't have to miss school because we got everybody. But anyway, in the midst of everything that's going on, I'm going back down to the basement. Hannah had come over, I think spent the night at your house, and Hannah came over and stuck Max up in the bedroom because he was still groggy and was laying down on the floor up there. And I'm going back down to the basement. I want my mag flashlight, the flashlight that's on steroids. You know what I'm talking about, right? None of this little stuff, you know. I mean, give me that lantern, right? Where's my black flashlight? I don't know. Where's my black flashlight? Who had my black? Then I'm starting to get mad. I'm already disgusted. Already, you know how it goes. You know, where's my black flashlight? So, and I could hear them. You know, it's kind of like, let it go. Nope. I want my black flashlight. Who had my black? Did you have my black flashlight, Hannah? Did you have my black? No, Dad, I didn't have my black flashlight. I want my black flashlight. Where is my black flashlight? Where? So I said, I'm going to find it. So I thought maybe they took it upstairs. So I stomped out of the kitchen, you know, and rounded the corner, and when I rounded the corner, right now we've remodeled a little bit of our stairway, and we haven't rebuilt the stairway, what do you call that thing? The rail. Okay, the railing, you know, and our steps go up, and then they go up again. So here, right here, is about a 4.5-foot drop from that first set of steps to the wood floor. Around the corner, and guess who's sitting on the edge of the step, one leg over, kind of there like, I got a feeling I'm not supposed to be here. There's Max. When I rounded that corner, my heart just stopped in my tracks. I said, Max. See, I really believe all that stuff about the black flashlight, I really believe that came from the Spirit of God that lives within me. It took me around the corner in time to stop that little boy from falling 4.5 feet on that floor. So, well, nothing would have happened. Probably not. People have been in comas for years from less falls. And that's just one thing. You say, well, that's just coincidence. Well, I'll tell you what. You live your life by coincidence. I think I'd just soon live mine by asking for His help and His leadership and just depending on Him a little bit to kind of lead, guide, and even in a time of frustration, and He can overrule and all of that. And I mean the influence of the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something. When we grieve Him and quench Him to the point that He said, you know what, I'm unhappy here. And so I'm not leaving, but I'm just going to sit back here in the corner, and when you get fixed, I'll get involved again. You know what the tribulation period is? The tribulation period is just, it's almost a time on earth without the influence of the Holy Ghost. Excuse it, but it's all hell on earth without His influence. Now, I don't want that in my life. I don't want all hell on earth in my life because I have so grieved Him and so quenched Him with this unconfessed thing that you've just let go. And you know what? It's been here so long, it's grieved me and quenched me so bad. That's got to get fixed because I need His influence. You gain that when you keep your heart right with God. Amen? You gain a right spirit. You gain the Holy Spirit's influence. Number three, oh my goodness, this will be short. The third, He got a free spirit. I love this. Look at verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. The word free means volunteer, to present spontaneously, to offer freely and willingly. Excuse me. This type of spirit has to do with joy. He mentioned that in verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Nehemiah tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And David lost the strength that a free spirit brings. You see, sin restricts, sin binds. It puts our spirits in chains of bondage. We become tight. And when I have a free spirit, I can laugh, I can chuckle, I can enter into the joy of my salvation, and my external circumstances do not have to be perfect. In fact, I can be away from and out of my comfort zone and still have an excellent spirit. Daniel was not at home, but he found a way to have a good spirit. Called a free spirit. There's a spontaneity to a free spirit. It doesn't take anything dirty to bring on a laugh. It could be a joke that I've heard for 30 different times. But when my spirit is free, I can sit and enjoy it and laugh again because, hey, I'm not talking about silliness. I'm talking about joy. When opportunity comes along to be involved in something that I can do, I do not sit critically and scowl. It's not a matter of having fun. It's a matter of being free. Free. Just free. Not to freelance with my faith, do what I feel, but be free and enjoy what God has given me. Okay. Car's not up to par. Okay. All right. Health not up to par? Okay. Work's not up to par? Okay. Not what I would like it to be. Hey, I got a Heavenly Father. I got an elder brother in Jesus Christ. I got a constant guide in the Holy Ghost. I got a great manual that tells me how to live. I live in America. I've got this. I've got that. Okay, it may not be perfect, but you know what? Praise God. It's good to be alive. It's a free spirit. And I just can't be happy. And then explain all the reasons why. And none of it's your fault. A free spirit. Now, later on in the chapter, David mentions his broken spirit. Talks about that in verse number 17. We looked at that last week. This is what was necessary for David to come to himself and admit his condition. And when he reached that point, when his spirit was broken, And he said, "That's it. You know, this is not my work. This is not my church. This is not my spouse. This is not my this. This is me. God, fix me." When he got to that point, he regained a right spirit, the Holy Spirit influence, and a free spirit. So my question is, how are we living tonight? Are you living with those? Are you living with a right spirit? Are you living with the Holy Spirit influence? Are you living with a free spirit? Or have you lost in your spirit? I tell you what, get right with God. Cut to the chase. Get rid of the excuses. Get right with God. Just get straight with God. And boy, you'll gain a right spirit, Holy Spirit influence, and a free spirit. Isn't it a wonderful way to live? Amen and amen. You say, how do you know? Because I've had the other. I've had the other. And right now, to the best of my knowledge, I have this. I kind of enjoy this. And I'll probably go to the other again someday. But hopefully my stay there won't be very long. I sure wouldn't want to go 8, 9, 10 months. I sure wouldn't want to make a decision that affected my future while my spirit was skewed. Well, that'd be dangerous, wouldn't it? So let's be careful about that. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Father, help us, please. We've been on this thing long enough, and this is it, as far as this part of his life. But Lord, such a critical point. And Lord, please help us. I pray that we'll be careful to keep a right spirit. Lord, to keep our sins confessed. To keep our hearts clean. And Lord, deal with things, even when they're difficult to deal with. And Lord, thank you for the right spirit, the free spirit, and the Holy Spirit influence that's ours. Thank you for David. Thank you for what his life teaches. Let's bless tonight in Christ's name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed.